Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Let me just share a few thoughts with you from Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's where blind Bartimaeus, little old blind Bart, was on the side of the road, and Jesus was coming by, and as he was coming by, he said, he cried out. He said, you know, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And people do what they always do when they don't like people interrupting their service. He told him to shut up and sit down. And so he cried out even louder because he wasn't going to be silent. So he cried out. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, will you be quiet? We're trying to pay attention and you're embarrassing me. And so he cried out even the louder a third time. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stops everything and he says, tell him to come here. So he asks him what he wants and he says, what do you want from me? And he says, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. So let me just give you a few thoughts really quick about blind Bartimaeus. Number one, old Bart was in a rut. He was in a dead-end routine. And he couldn't get out of it. He couldn't shake of it. And my thought I was kind of thinking about tonight, I was thinking as God is getting ready to do great things in this church, and we're foreseeing 2018 for people's lives to be changed, lives to be turned around, we have got to be willing to do something we've never done and get out of old routines. And we don't like that, do we? Because nobody likes change. I was joking with Sister Pat right before church, and I just said this. I said, the only people who like change in the church are the babies. They like to be changed. But nobody likes change. As a matter of fact, when we talk about change, we want people to change, but we just want them to change what we don't like. We don't want you to change what we like. And so change is very much apparent to what we like and don't like. But behind Bartimaeus was in a routine. He was tired of the status quo. He was tired of living in a rut. He was tired of the way his condition was. And so in order to change his condition, he cried out and he said, Jesus, I want you to have mercy on me. And he took responsibility for what was going on in his life. The second thing is he didn't wait. Let me just finish this. Before we can have change, we have to take responsibility for our actions. And that's what Bartimaeus did. He didn't blame anybody else. He didn't say it's somebody else's fault and this is why the things the way they are. He didn't blame someone else or why he was lame from birth or blind. He didn't blame someone else or why things weren't going his way. He just cried out. And then the second thing he did is he didn't wait for the ideal situation. He didn't wait for their healing service. He didn't wait for things to be set up in a certain time frame. He just saw an opportunity and he didn't wait. He cried out immediately, even when he was silenced. If you and I are going to see God do great things in our families, in our life, we are going to have to stop waiting for ideal situations. Our country is not going to be about ideal situations. Things aren't going to happen with the ideal situation. Tax reform isn't going to be an ideal situation for everybody. And healing isn't going to be an ideal situation for everybody. If we're going to see God do something bold, dramatic, and great in this church, we can't wait for ideal situations to line up the way we want them to. What we're going to have to do is step out boldly, expect God to do great things, and pray for it, and take initiative on it, which means it takes time, like tonight, where we pull aside, we pray, we take communion, we see God's face, we corporately pray and believe for God for change. And what we do is we don't wait for ideal situations, but we take initiative to see change happen. And that's what we did when we fasted. That's what we did when we began to pray and see our God give us vision and direction for 2018. That's what we're doing in our families. That's what Sandra and I have done. We're not waiting for things to turn around. We're praying in our family for God to take hold of certain situations. And we are already seeing God do great things in our family, in this church, and in personal lives of other people we've been praying for. We're already beginning to see change. But it didn't happen necessarily the way we would hope it would happen. But God worked it out, and we're seeing change happen, because if we really want to see something, it can't just happen in the ideal situation. It's going to happen because we're releasing it to God. He didn't, the third thing is he didn't worry about what people thought or said. And you know what? I think that's one of the things that we as church people have to get past, and even me as a pastor. We have to stop worrying about what everybody's going to say, what everybody's going to think. Sometimes what's doing the right thing is not always the popular thing. I know that's a scary word, right? Sometimes when you get ready to see God do something extraordinarily great, people aren't always going to like that you're calling for this prayer meeting. You're calling for this situation to change. You're not, they're not always hoping and believe for those things. But sometimes when we're doing, we can't always worry what people are going to say about us. I think one of the greatest problems in our church that stops us and is a blockade for seeing a move of God is we are so worried about what somebody's going to think. You know, if I begin to pray, if I go down to the altar call every time Pastor Brian gives an altar call, every time I move, people are going to think I'm crazy and I'm just the worst sinner in the world. Who cares? My life was changed because I had to stop worrying about what people think, and I started coming every week until my knee action became my reality and it became who I was, and all of a sudden I started living out the things that in my heart I really wanted to live out. And sometimes I just wish people would get behind you. You know, when you're preaching, I know people say amen. I get that. And I know that this morning everybody was pretty attentive in the service, and I appreciate that. But sometimes you want people to be so in tune with what you're trying to do. You want them to stop worrying what people think and just get into the service and amen. Stop worrying about the clocks and all that stuff. And listen, I'll stop eventually. I'll get hungry. But sometimes I just want people to be so hungry that for the things of God that they get on the front seat, they're amening, they're the first ones to come to the front for worship, they're the last ones to leave because they're so hungry to see a move of God. They're not worried about being the first one at the restaurant, they're not worried about what people think. What would happen if we had people on prayer meeting night, like tonight, if people showed up early and while they're up here worshiping, we got people walking around the sanctuary praying like it used to be? Just stop worrying about people's thinking. Let's start going after God with all our heart. The next thing he did is he let go of his security. The Bible says that when Jesus called him, he actually threw his blanket down, his security mat, his mat that he carried where he was begging, his beggar's mat. He threw it to the side because he didn't plan on going back. What would happen if we threw away all the things that were security to us? Do you know that when Jesus came on the scene, he messed with everybody's world and everybody's security? Everything that was status quo, he changed. That's why he kept getting in trouble. You know, they tell you as a pastor, you're not supposed to change too much in your first year. He changed everything in the first 3 years. I mean, literally every idea, every teaching, they thought he was a cult leader. He changed everything, turned it on its side, and here we are, we're worshiping him. But that's why he got crucified. He messed with everything. And I think what would happen, not if we're just, not the purpose of just trying to say, well, what if we let go of everything that was secure, that made us feel comfortable? We just said, God, I just want you to move. I need a change in my family. I need a healing. I need deliverance. I want to see the power of God move in this place. So what we need to do is we want to seek after you and let go of everything that feels secure. And Lord, we just want to trust you. Lord, you're the only security that I really want. Bartimaeus let go of his personal security to get the eternal security. What if we let go of the things that aren't going to last in this world for the eternal things that God can provide? We are such a different generation. I talk about it all the time in our church services, but let me just say to this small group as I'm trying to wrap it up fast, let me just say this. What if we concentrate on the eternal and not the temporal? What if every decision we make had eternal value and stop worrying about the temporal consequences? I know that's not an amen type message because you're thinking, what's he wanting to change? I'm not really wanting to change. I have nothing in mind. I have nothing to mess with. I'm not trying to mess with anybody's world tonight. I promise. I don't have anything in mind. But I will tell you this. God has constantly challenged me to constantly be thinking about the eternal and stop worrying about the temporal. And I think so many times we make temporal decisions and we have eternal consequences versus making eternal decisions with just temporal consequences. We've all done it. We do it on our jobs. We do it in our life, all because of short-time thinking situations, and we don't make eternal decisions. I want to make biblical decisions. I want to make eternal decisions. I want to see lives change that are going to be affected for the eternal, and I want to stop worrying about the temporal little things. I want to see people grow. I want to see people come to this church, feel welcome, wanted, and loved. I want to see people grow in their faith. I want to see people saved. I want to see people delivered from addiction. I want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want to see people healed of body of cancer and of heart diseases. And that will only happen when we begin to let God rule and reign in this place, seek the eternal, and stop worrying about the temporal. That's what Bartimaeus did. He stopped worrying about the short-term situation of people telling him to shut up and be quiet. And he said he cried out even louder because he was looking at a longer-term solution. And then what did he do? The last thing he did is he asked and believed that God was going to touch him. He decided that he was going to trust that if I called out, he won't abandon me. If I call out and ask, if I let go of everything that's holding me back and I decide it's not going to anchor me anymore to the past, I'm going to cry out for Jesus. He's going to step in and he's going to do something awesome. And that's exactly what happened, to the point that after this, he just simply followed him. Everything that was his basis for his life, his everyday life, was get up, go lay out a beggar's mat, cry out for people to give him money because he couldn't make a living on his own. He didn't have anything. So he went out, he laid out a beggar's mat, cried out, begged, went home, came out, laid out a beggar's mat, cried, begged, went home. That was his life until one day he heard about Jesus and he heard that he was passed out. He said, enough's enough. I just wonder, what's it going to take for our little body of believers to say enough's enough, cry out one more time, because we really believe. The Bible says that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Well, I want to be some of that flesh he's pouring out upon. I want to be part of that body of believers. I don't want to be passed by because of whatever situation would hold me back. I want to be able to loose it and say, God, I'm trusting you. I want to honor what you've done, but I want to see it grow from there. I want to be like a Joshua generation that is a conquering generation that sees people come to know Jesus Christ, that follows after him, and that we don't let the enemy rule and reign, but we let God rule and reign over our lives. That's what I want to see. And so as we kind of wrap up here tonight, see, I'm finishing up already. I want to just take a moment and say, God, I want to be like Bartimaeus. I want to be like old blind Bart. I don't want to let my past situations, circumstances, and condition hold me back. I want to press in for the eternal and not the temporal. God, I want you to rule and reign in me personal, because this was a personal decision. Bart didn't cry out for the church. That wasn't what he was doing. He was crying out personally, God, I need a change in me. So I'm going to let go of my temporal so that I can have your eternal. And I just wonder what would happen if in here we did that. We had that mind and attitude that we were going to let go of these little bitty temporal things that hold us personally back and say, God, I'm holding on to the eternal. And God, I'm going to let you rule and reign. And Lord, whatever you want to do in me, do it so that I can follow after you without anything holding me back. What would happen? I'm telling you, things would change. But it starts with individuals. Big changes start with individuals. Starts with me. It starts with God upsetting my life. Because that's what it is. Y'all may not believe it, but I have little things that I like. I have routines that I like. And when people mess it up, it makes me mad. When I come in, I come in the living room, I look at the kids, I said, that's my spot. And then I say, I'm going to go change. I'm going to give you a little time to finish your show. But then I'm going to come back in here. I'm going to want my spot. I do, don't I? And it messes with my world when they don't move. But it's silly, but don't we get upset about little things? I'm just making a small little example, but we all have these little routines that we get in. What if God just shook our whole world up and rocked it and said, whatever you thought you were going to do, you're used to doing, I'm messing it up. I think if we saw the end result, we would all be fine with it. The problem is we don't see the end result. We just see the immediate mess up and messes with our world. So tonight, just as we're closing, here's what I want us to do. You don't have to stand. You don't have to stand up. You just need to pray for a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to just take about 2 minutes, and I'm just going to ask you to pray and say, God, whatever you want to do, Lord, start with me.